This is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. This control is W2 Tango 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 Gordon. This is the TechNet for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. Very good. Good evening once again. The purpose of the TechNet is to engage in a free exchange of ideas related to amateur radio. Amateur radio, by definition, is a technical hobby. Therefore, any subjects related to it or, shall we say, auxiliary technologies is more than welcome for discussion here, or even auxiliary topics such as, shall we say, amateur radio housekeeping kind of things. Not a problem. Everything's pretty much welcome here. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in order to check into the net. You do, however, need to have an amateur license that entitles you to transmit in the 2-meter band in these United States. The format of the net is pretty straightforward. We encourage any and all amateurs to check in, as long as, as I said, they're licensed. And what we'll do is we'll ask you to check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question. We'll come back to you for your question or comment. Actually, I should say question or comment. And you're more than welcome to check with that. Okay, now that we've solved that question. That's very nice. Now you get to hear how I plug in my phone into its charger. All right, anyway, so the way you check into the net is when I call for your part of the call sign pool, you'll use your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or multiple questions and comments, or a question and a comment, or any combination there too. So, on that note, any station whose call sign begins with Kilo, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
This is KC2SQP, Stuart Alpart, brand new ham operator.
Good evening, Stuart. I know who you are, and my question to you, sir, is do you have a question or comment for the net, or are you just checking in first?
First time listening. I've got an awful lot to learn, and I figured I'd just keep quiet for a while and see how you guys talk on the radio.
Well, welcome, Stuart. We're going to come back to you probably late in the net, so don't drift away. We're going to probably want to poll you for your questions, comments, and confusions, especially after what I promise you will be a busy net. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. K2BAR, KO2OK, Bennett, no question. Okay, Bennett, good evening, KO2OK, got you, no question. The couple other Kilos, could you spread it out just a little bit, just to see if there's somebody else in there?
K2BAR, this is KC2, Papa Yankee Bravo, Richard.
Hi, Richard, any questions or comments from 4-3?
Negative, not at this time.
Okay, good evening to you. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
This is K2ZO, Jim, and I have a couple comments. We have one comment.
Good evening, Jim. K2ZO acknowledged. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2SKL, Kelly, no questions.
Okay, Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra Kilo Lima. Hi, Kelly. Good evening. Got you, no questions. Any other KC2s? Why don't we do it that way? Any Kilo Charlie 2s only?
K2GCL, repeater.
K-A-2-B-D-U. Tell me, I do have a question.
Hey, good evening, Helmut. K-A-2-B-D-U. KTBDU. Any other Kilo stations, please call KTBAR.
KC2AWX, named Harvey in beautiful Fairlawn, New Jersey. And no questions.
Good evening, Harvey. KC2AWX acknowledged. Any other Kilos, please call KTBAR.
KC2SIR.
Okay, the Kilo Charlie 2 Fox India Lima, and I didn't get your name, and good evening.
Sierra India Lima, it's Katie.
Hi, Katie. You just came in so loud. Okay. Hey, Katie, are you okay, Katie, with an IE?
I'm actually a Catherine, but K-A-T-I-E is my nickname.
Catherine's a beautiful name. My wife is a Catherine with a C, however. That's fine. I was just curious. Well, welcome to you. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K2SAV.
Hi, Al, KC2SAV. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
No question or comment at this time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2MVD. I'm in Hasbrook Heights now, and I always have questions, comments, and answers, lots of them.
Okay, we'll come to you with a specific. I'm noting you have a question. We'll come to you for a specific. Ed, good evening, KC2NZD. The call sign of the guy who has the call sign after my son, or one of my sons. Anyway, all right. Anybody else? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is N2OER. Noel, one question.
Good evening, Noel. I got your one question, and 2OEL acknowledged. Anybody else?
W2BBB. Tim, no questions, no comments.
Okay, Tim, Victor, good evening. Anybody else?
NJ1W.
Question.
Okay, NJ1W. I think you have a question. And W2JEK. Don, do you have a question?
No questions from W2JEK.
This is NJ1W. I think I doubled with somebody. I have no questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. No questions. I apologize. Thank you. NJ1W acknowledged. K2BAR. Anybody else?
WA2CAI. Good evening.
Good evening, Tom. WA2CAI acknowledged. Anybody else?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions.
Wow, we're doing really well tonight. Okay, very good. WE2R acknowledged. Good evening, Charlie. Anybody else?
N3CRT, Charlie, no questions.
Yeah, we allowed Charlie's this, during this minute, we allowed Charlie's to log in. We've got two in a row, as you can see, folks. Any other Charlie's? I'm just teasing. Okay, any other stations for the net, please call KTBAR. Okay, wow. We have quite a laundry list of guys and gals here tonight. I'm very impressed. Not our biggest check-in list, but dang close. Boy, 17 to 18 of us. All right. Well, we have three questions posted to the net, so I want to get right to it, and we have also a comment. So, I'm going to mention this several times tonight because it's going to be one of those things where people will forget. The Barra meeting was postponed from this coming Sunday to the week after. There will be no Barra meeting on the first Sunday this year in February because it's a high holy day. It's called the Super Bowl. Anyway, on that note, KA2BDU, Helmut, good evening. Your question, sir, K2BAR.
KA2BDU, my question is, what is the best way to make a phone patch using a cell phone? Over.
Let me also complete my other note. It's postponed a week. The Barra meeting will be the 10th. Didn't want to leave people
think you, we had no February meeting. So your question, Helmut, is that you want to use your cell phone to make an auto patch call. I'm a little confused. Could you kind of elaborate a bit?
I like to hook up this repeater, for instance, and rebroadcast the information via his cell phone. Over.
Okay. Well, there are a number of circuits out there to do that. They're essentially build your own headset for a cell phone. Most cell phones use that 3/32 connector for audio in, audio out, and that would be my suggestion for a starting point on a circuit. Maybe you even look up something that brings out to a conventional headphone adapter with a separate mic and a separate headset, you know, earplug. I've seen several of those circuits out on the net because at various times I've contemplated building an adapter so that I could go from my cell phone to my radio and back with the same headset. But I don't have anything specifically here. Maybe one of our web minions can go look up something during the net and help out with that.
Hey, to BDU. Thank you. I guess I can bring this problem to Kid Knight when I see all the experts.
We have a fair number of them here. Same ones. Anyway, I think we need a circuit to discuss, but I think it would be based on a 3/32 stereo sub-miniature phone connector, a stereo phone connector, and then break it out from there. That would be my suggestion. Does the cell phone in question have such a jack on the side?
Negative.
Okay, what external interface is provided on the cell phone that you have?
I don't know yet.
Okay, that's a little open-ended, but okay. But that's how I've solved that problem in past. I've given some consideration to, as I say, using my HAL headset as a for both telephony and also for radio work. Anybody else want to pipe in with some suggestions? Please call K2BAR. Okay. I will take that as a research project myself. I will not be a Kid Knight, unfortunately, because we have a stable constant selection of balls without basically disaffecting most of my Boy Scout troops, so that would not work. So I still think we should bring the boys to Kid Knight over in Washington Township one day. That would be a kick and a half. On that really odd note, I'm going to ask Helmut, do you have any other questions on this matter or related ones?
Negative, and I...
Okay, very fine. Sorry we couldn't do better immediately, but well, I made a note of that one. That's something that road I've been down before, and so I know the answer's out there. N2OEL, you had a specific question, and Ed, we're waiting for your question next. N2OEL, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is Antonio. It's an interesting question. I'm engaged in building a 220 J-pole out of half-inch copper pipe. And, of course, I looked at a lot of different items on the net. It seems that if you build it out of twin lead, it's almost essentially omnidirectional. However, it seems that if you're J part is a little bit farther away, say a matter of 6 inches or so, like it's in the one I'm building. It has approximately 4 dB gain in the direction of the J. I'm wondering if anybody has heard anything about that, has thought about that, whether it makes a difference. That's the question. And to all y'all.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, so you have a 4-inch gap, or no, pardon me, a 6-inch gap between your J and your longer element on a 220 megahertz J pole, is that correct?
Approximately 6 inches. I'm not sure what the exact dimensions are.
Well, hell's bells, it's going to be, that's going to act like a director. A closely spaced one, but a director nonetheless. So, absolutely. I'm not surprised at all. I hadn't really thought about it, but there's no doubt in my mind that's probably what would happen. And where did you come up with the 4 dB or approximately 4 dB number? Where did you read about it, or how did you measure it, or you know, what brought that to your attention?
Impossible.
One of the many articles, I read many articles, and I don't think I printed that one off. I printed off about 10 or 15 different ones, different ways. Finally decided on the one I wanted to build because it seems to be that if I follow their instructions exactly, I'll be pretty darn close. It, however, did not say it had any gain on the one I'm building. It just simply says, basically, omnidirectional. There are no antenna patterns provided. So I'm just wondering if there is any gain, whether it really is, or is it hot air, you know? Could be somebody's vivid imagination. K2BAR and 2OEI.
WA2CAI.
Yeah, I think we have one or more people who might think this is more of a hot air category. WA2CAI first, and then I think K2ZO, if I heard that right.
I'm looking for an article for 220 right now as we speak, Noel, but I think 6 inches is much too much. The bottom loop is just an impedance matching device. You adjust it, you find a 50 ohm point feeder with coax, and you feed the half-wave section off the hot leg of that device. That device is just supposed to be an impedance matching transformer. If it's doing anything else, the dimensions are wrong, I'd have to say. Go ahead, Jim.
This is K2ZO, and I don't have to say anything, because you said exactly what I was going to say. That antenna is a half-wave antenna. It's got a high impedance, and the J portion of it is nothing more than a matching section to transform the 50 ohms to the high impedance of the end of that, found at the end of that one wavelength. So I was going to say exactly, and there is no gain in that section. You may see some gain over a quarter wave antenna, but nothing, it'll show no gain, I guarantee you that.
Well, there you go. It was one of those things that it wouldn't surprise me if someone claimed it and actually achieved it, but I would want to measure it, as is my custom. So I think the notion of gain, I think Jim points out, is maybe related to the fact that it's a longer antenna with hence more capture area, therefore a nominal amount of gain over a quarter wave, which shocks. Since it's double, typically a quarter wave, then shucks, it's 3 dB more. What a surprise if someone thinks it's 4. I'm not. Anyway, I think it'd be fun to put such a thing on an antenna test range, though, and test that theory. I think it'd be just delightful to do, and that's something we might consider doing one day. I'd like to think that maybe one day we could have a antenna test range day where we set up for various VHF, UHF, and microwave antennas and go to a huge big park and see what we can do with that. I think that might be something fun to consider. In fact, KC2KIS and I discussed doing that a while back, and of course his plans for moving kind of got in the way, such is life. Anybody else want to discuss the J-pole? One of my favorite portable antennas, by the way.
I just had a quick follow-up question for Noel. Noel, is that directional gain you're referring to, or omnidirectional gain over your reference antenna, like an isotropic or a quarter wave ground plane? Are you referring to directionality or
says it has about 3 dB over a quarter wave on a ground plane, which I probably believe since it's a half-wave antenna, and it would have not send so much of your radio signal up into the outer space, but make it out more of a pancake effect, so you'd reach the horizon better. So I could believe 3 dB. But one of the many articles I looked at, which I'm going to go find it again and send it over to Gordon, is that in the direction of J, it showed some gain. And I was wondering if that was really true, because if it's true, I can put it on top of a rotator. If it's not true, I can mount it any place, chimney, whatever, whatever, and not care about it.
Suspicious of the J part. A 2 meter J pole using copper pipe, I think, is 4 inches basic. Hold on, something's vibrating in my house. I'm getting RF into my TV set. Anyway, no, that dimension sounds too great, and as a result, it might exhibit some directionality. But I think it should be less than 4 inches. If it's a 220 antenna, I would expect the matching section, the J section at the bottom, it's a quarter wavelength long. The spacing between the two legs of it would probably be less than a 2 meter one. And you can find the 2 meter ones on the net for that type of antenna. I believe they're only 4 inches. But anyway, more knowledgeable people than I on this repeater on the subject, but just remember, Noel, if it looks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it smells like a duck, when you eat it, it's going to taste like a duck.
No, it tastes like tuna.
No, it don't taste like chicken.
Okay, very good. Noel?
Thank you. I'll do some more research and bring it back to Gordon at another time. And to all you.
Yeah, I'm in the process of doing two different searches. Interesting enough. I'm kind of curious about this myself, but I've built J-poles for 2 meters and 440, 6 meters, I think. I can't believe I built one for 222 somewhere along the line, but I don't know. There it is. Copper cactus J-pole for his bands. I found it pretty good. Skip the ad. Anyway. Alrighty. What else do we have on the subject? Anybody else want to talk about one of the best omnidirectional antennas ever to come down the pike, which is a J-pole? Anybody want to talk about that some more? This is K2BAR.
WE2R.
Charlie, go right ahead.
First, let me ask you how my signal is.
You're fine. And Ed, if you want to know what you sound like Charlie. That was kind of what I was mentioning. The whole notion of a little egg fry on you, but no problem, Charlie. Your audio is really booming. Go ahead.
Only you just said I'm. This is my first sign-in with my new twin lead J pole, which is resting against the window, and it seems to do better than my rubber duck. So, please.
I think you should be extraordinarily pleased because, you know, if I wasn't being picky, you wouldn't have gotten anything other than a sterling review. Instead, you're just getting a 5.9.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. So I'm pleased with the theory and practice behind the twin lead J-pole.
Yeah, I hope everybody caught that tongue-in-cheek comment. But okay, very good. You're doing fine. You're absolutely doing fine. Alrighty. Any other comments, questions, confusions about J-poles? Please call K2BAR. Okay. Well, before we continue, I want to remind everybody that the PARA meeting for February will be February 10th, not February 3rd, because we have the holy day of the Super Bowl on February 3rd, and people will be praying before either CRTs, LCDs, or probably plasma displays. We're not sure which. On that note, let's see. K2 TCQNZD W2 TTT, go.
Go ahead, your question.
K2GCL, repeater.
When's the meeting again?
My question is for PV meters, listening and transmitting without a long wire. I'm going to be losing my long wire ability, and I'm just trying to find a decent way to go on 8 meters.
So, what kind of tuner do you have, Ed, and how much space will you have?
I'm running the ICOM tuner that runs the ICOM 706 Mark IIG.
Okay, which tuner is that? I'm trying to remember. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm stupid. You have an AH4. Is that correct?
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure if it's an AH6 or an AH4. I had the AH180 and the AT180, and that wasn't the right one, so it's either AT4 or AT6.
Just the one you got from me?
Yes it is, but I'm just trying to work this without a long wire. I don't have the ability to run a long wire.
Okay, well you need to run two wires with that, or have a wire and a cold water pipe, either or. Because the counterpoise line must, you know, be brought to a copper pipe or to, you know, cold water pipe or to a, a resonant quarter wave piece on the ground side. The other side should not be a resonant piece of wire. But you might want to, if you could roll 50 feet of wire out somewhere interesting, or even around a room or a wall or something like that, depends on what's in the wall, you will do pretty well. There are stories of people taking, and I cannot confirm this, it depends on the orientation, the building and everything else, but people have taken, you know, horrendous amounts of loops of wire around the corners of a wall, floor to ceiling, and then around and around and around and see how many turns they could do in order to get a decent loop up. Again, you still need a ground on that box, and it should be either a resonant quarter wave, or it should be as short as possible to a cold water pipe. The AH4 is built like that. I think it should, if you started off with like 50 feet of wire on the hot side and a cold water pipe on the other, I think that would be a good start. Can you do that?
Question about that, actually. If I run my automatic tuner itself, it only has room for a ground and for one wire to be fed onto. So can I run that ground theoretically into the electrical socket ground?
I don't think I would do that. For safety reasons, I wouldn't do it, Ed. Yeah, I think for safety reasons, I would refrain from going anywhere near an electrical socket with that thing.
And so are you.
Good, Noel.
Two reasons. The ground in your outlet may have a disconnection in the wall or not be properly wired. That's reason number one, which means you could be hooked up to something that's dry, for one thing. Reason number two, you're in the greatest noise source in the whole building. When I was at the apartment house in Ridgefield Park, tried that. Every motor that started sends a little bit of juice, a little bit of noise up those electrical wires, picked up everything. Finally had to run my own 6-gauge wire down through 3 stories to the basement into a 8-foot ground rod. But the electrical outlet didn't work for me. It's not recommended on the web if you go do a search. And I wouldn't recommend it.
WA2CAI.
Tom?
I don't think it's code to use the electrical ground for anything but electrical grounding. And if a fire results and someone gets injured, you're liable. We had something like that happen in a building in Fort Lee. The people we hired to install a piece of equipment they knew what they were doing, and they used the ground, the main building ground, in the wiring. They had to buy, I think it was close to 400 television sets.
They were bonded and insured, of course, right?
Well, thank God the company didn't let them get away with doing the work without the insurance. Because when the electrical inspector inspected the building because of the damage that resulted, they lost their electrical license.
I'm sure they did. Oh boy, oh joy. I have found a website that might be helpful for those who are interested in copper cactus type J-poles. It's got rather good dimensions. I've used these before. It's November 6th, MikeRomeoXray.com. And I think if you go to his antennas, I think you'll find it from there. I don't think it'll be particularly difficult to find, but he's got, on his page, he's got, all sorts of things dealing with antennas. And if you follow that along, I think you'll be a very happy camper.
Sounds like fun. I'll look it up after net and see where we are.
Yeah, worst case is if you looked up N6MRX and the word copper cactus, I think you'd probably find it on a Google search.
Gordon, a quick question.
Yes, sir. By the way, he runs a very nice, amusing site, too.
A sense of humor, good. When's the Barra meeting? The 10th?
That's correct. The Barra meeting's the 10th. If you, on his page, if you go to technical, and then antenna, I think it's in there somewhere. I'm still looking. I know I got there directly. The other question is, how did I get to it? I think a Google search on copper cactus is probably the best way to start.
KC2RNV.
All right, I'm in agreement with the picking up signals from every motor in the planet with sticking it to a ground. And I do have access to a radiator pipe, so that might be able to do it. But now, are you essentially saying that you do 50 feet of wire in a bullseye spiral, like Twilight Zone pattern, that'll work?
And say a bullseye, just a loop, just go round and round and round. Start with one. If that doesn't work, add more. If that doesn't work, go to less and then move it somewhere else.
KC2RNV.
RNV, I'll get you in a moment. You got that, Ed?
Okay, well, in theory, I'll be able to get a loop. The entire room is only 10 by 15. So that's, it's not that big of a loop, but, what do you do with the extra wire? Can you coil it into the center like a Twilight Zone? Or like one of those spirograph things, or you just forget it?
I could go somewhere else, or go round and around in the same spot. It will vary. Your mileage may vary. I mean, you're talking about an antenna tuner that, is operating under really stressed conditions. Make sure you have at least some amount of wire going somewhere along the floor, under the carpet or whatever, as a counterpoise as well, and not in the same general direction, or not in the same walls anyway as your ground. At least not, they shouldn't run close to each other. They should run apart from each other. Let's get KC2RNV in here and see what he has to say. I didn't get your name, sir. My name is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is K2BAR for the TechNet.
Good evening, Gordon. The name's David. When you say go to the hot water pipe, you might not have, the boiler may not be bonded, so you might not have a good ground going to the steam pipe on the radiator. If you find a cold water pipe, that should be going right to ground.
Did I not say cold water pipe? I apologize. We should definitely use the cold water pipe.
Comment.
Okay, Tom, thank you, David, for making sure that we get that right.
Go ahead, Tom.
I just have to take exception to the cold water pipe. Some of the newer homes, 1970 or newer, I've seen PVC pipe used as cold water pipe, feeding a copper pipe in the building. So you attach the copper, think you got a good round, and you have nothing. You got bupkis. The best bet is always to run a ground rod, especially if the subject is lightning protection.
I agree, David.
Yeah, well, that would go without saying, but, you know, there are, you know, you have to find out if you do have that copper or you have the PVC in, and that can be a nightmare to try to find out, especially in a multi-tenanted building.
I've seen multi-tenant buildings fed with PVC from the street feed to the building foundation, and copper inside and the user end of the meter, the water meter. I've always told people, you know, check and see if you have a ground strap bypassing the meter. So if the meter gets disconnected for service, you still have a ground. But that's no guarantee that what they're connecting to is ground, so just be careful.
I would concur. All right. That's another good point as well. The bottom line is that I think you need to consider making your own ground as much as possible, whether it's a counterpoise type ground, a lightning ground, which I don't think you're really working for at this point, or you know, you're trying to make a, as I say, a counterpoise ground that's going to work reasonably well opposite your radiating element, whatever it may be. Alrighty. On that interesting note, any more from you, Mr. Ed, or anybody else? First, Ed first. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2NCD. I've got to, I might be able to run a grounding rod out the window. I'll run that outside, and then I can run a wire up through. But I'm not going to be able to run the main line anywhere but on the ceiling. And the closest I can get is, like I said, a 15 by 10 room. But if I make a complete loop out of that, doesn't that throw the resonance off?
Okay, Ed, very good. Anybody else have any comments on the subject? This is K2BAR.
With a good antenna tuner, Ed, you should be able to fool the radio into thinking you're working into a resonant antenna very easily, even if you don't think there's enough copper, too much copper.
All right, well, I thank you very much for that. I'm going to be pulling my hair out with that sometime next week and trying to come up with something I can go on 80 meter with. Thanks a lot, guys. 52NVD, clear.
W2JK with a question.
Ahead, Don.
I presume that you cannot have anything outside, no wire outside at all. Is that correct?
I might be able to get away with one wire running temporarily to the ground as a ground, but I can have nothing in the air.
Okay. How about some people have used downspouts and rain gutters and things like that. If you can get access to that, might be a thought for you.
And Ed, the other thing you can do is run wire out to them without and keep it very stealthy.
That actually would make sense. I might be able to do that. And so if I ran my wire right to the gutter itself, can I use the gutter as part of the antenna, or should I run a wire inside the gutter?
Whatever works. If you would get in trouble for attaching something to the gutter, don't attach anything to the gutter. Just, you know, surreptitiously place it along it or whatever. But if you can get away with it, why not?
All right, that sounds like it might actually work. I might be able to attach to the downspout of the gutter and use that as an actual antenna.
in mind when that's done, the bonding between rain gutter sections is not great, and it's often done in like complexes where they have restrictive antenna situations, but that the homeowner owns the downspout, so they can always tell the neighbors, well, I was repairing my gutters to make sure they had good connections. I didn't want them to leak and stuff like that. And, of course, in the process, they were all electric. Every section was electrically bonded to the next section. But, when you don't own the place, you got to be a little more discreet and a little more careful about those things. So running something alongside may be, shall we say, less of an issue for anybody who might take exception to its presence. Presence of a wire is one thing. Attachment of a wire is totally different. You know what I'm saying?
You want to be careful of RF birds, too, if that downspout is near a sidewalk or anything where somebody could touch it.
Oh, bugger. I knew I liked you. Thank you, too. Okay, anybody else? Let you put the ribbons on that one, and we'll go to the next subject, which I think is going to be Jim.
Whiskey, India. 2 whiskey.
Noted, Steve. Good evening. Do you have a question or a comment for the net?
Well, once I lived in Chicago on the second floor of a two-family house, and I successfully used a slinky dipole strung in a U configuration around my living room. I was a bachelor then, and worked 75 meters as well as 40. Had more luck on 40, but it worked 75 as well. So that might be an option if you can find a slinky made out of metal these days.
And Ed, you could end feed one of those.
And you had it in a U shape, and add to the trick.
Well, it was what was available.
Okay, I think one of my companies I deal with has actual very long slinkies. They're meant as demonstration tools. This might be an interesting option. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have fun.
Alrighty. This is excellent. It's excellent. Anybody else? Last comments on indoor, should we say, compromised antennas for the low bands. K2BAR.
WHSCAI. Let us not forget the ever-popular buried antenna made famous by the Gulf War.
Would you wish to refresh our memories for those of us who... might be under the age of, let's say, 25, who might not have had been at the age of reason when this came up?
Well, the age of reason has nothing at all to do with the military. Rule that out right away. But they were using an H-shaped antenna laying on the ground, or buried in the ground if the ground was sandy enough. And it proved very good. It was broadband. Now we're talking like 160 to 28 megacycles, worked well. It had a few SWR glitches in that range, where you just couldn't do it. But it fed with 50 ohms, which always impressed me. Then there's the ever-popular Signal Corps tree antenna.
K2GCL, repeater.
Okay.
I read a paper once by the Signal Corps. They drove a few stainless steel nails into a tree, clipped the jumper cable from that to an antenna tuner, and they could get the tree to resonate everywhere.
Why am I loving that? Tell me about the buried antenna. What was the geometry?
Geometry was roughly, H pattern, 3 boxes. There were 2 balans, 9-to-1 balans. The balans were feeding the radiating elements in an H pattern on the ground, and each balan was being fed from the output of a power splitter. So I guess was so low, it worked anywhere.
That's pretty neat. Very neat. Well, if you can get us a diagram, that would be excellent. Absolutely excellent. Just an FYI on the J-Paul antennas from before. Again, November 6th, MikeRomeoXray.com. Look for technical stuff at the top, and then antennas, and then the copper cactus will be there. The other approach is to Google copper, cactus, and the call sign November 6th, Mike Romeo X-Ray, and that will get you there as well. Copper cactus and 6 MRX. And that will bring you right to dimensions for J-poles from 6 meters to 1265. Again, the station. Female checking in again.
Let me move into a better spot. This is Kelly. Can you hear me now?
You're not allowed to say that to me, Kelly. I work for Death Star Telecommunications. No, just kidding. Yes, we hear you fine.
Okay, earlier I had actually looked on eBay for J-poles, and I did see a copper cactus, so I'm just wondering if it was the same guy. I didn't look on the computer again. But is a J-pole something I would find at a ham fest?
A J-pole is something you will find by going to Home Depot.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at baking and, you know, making little crafts and stuff like that, but I don't know when it comes to, like, you know, solder and flux and all that stuff. It's not up my alley, I think. Putting in a credit card number is more my speed.
Kit Knight.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kit Knight, get a couple of 8-foot pieces of half-inch or three-quarter-inch, actually three-quarter-inch copper, half-inch copper pipe, an elbow, a T, and two caps, and get yourself like a 25-foot coaxial jumper or cord at Radio Shack, and just bring it on down, and you will have everything. Oh, and two hose clamps. I'm sure everybody else can help you solder the rest.
Don't forget the slingshot or the fishing rod reel.
Copper, not a roll-up one. So, Kelly, go look up that website that I just mentioned to you and just bring enough copper pipe, a T, and you need a T, an elbow, and two caps, and a jumper from, basically a coaxial cable from Radio Shack.
Okay.
Yep. I'm wondering if somewhere along the line I thought I wrote this up as to how to build one of these things. Maybe I could find that article. I did write it up as to, you know, what you need to go do to go build one of these things. Either I might have written it on Tower Talk or one of the other things, I don't remember. Who knows? Anyway, anybody else? That's a good suggestion for Kelly to get to build her own antenna. She'll like it a lot more, and her credit card will be a lot happier. Because, you know, she'll have $20 worth of parts and not, you know, $100 worth of parts.
Comment.
This is Case 2AWX. Yeah, Trump. The Leaks Handbook. I think somewhere it shows how to make a J-pole.
I'm sorry, I went toneless for a moment. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, my comment on the antenna for Kelly is I didn't know whether she wanted a permanent made out of copper antenna to put outside or perhaps a portable one. Certainly, if you want to build a portable one, Kelly, we can make one out of twin lead, you know, the TV type stuff, or the 450 ohm type twin lead. We can build it for you at Kid Night and probably cost you like a dollar. So there you go. It might be an antenna that you can take and try at your location, see if it works much better. And then later on at some time, if you want to build a copper one, build it and stick it outside. Noel is building a copper.
copper one, so why don't you come and take a look and see what's involved in that next time at Kit Night. That's all my comments. Back to that.
By the way, Charlie built one that's, I think, got a coax, isn't it? Not Charlie? Go ahead.
It's twin lead, TV twin lead, and it's built from, the dimensions were given in a QSD article of February 2003. It's for 220 and 440, and I have the article in my hand, actually, but I guess Jim must know all about it, or that type of antenna, based on his comment. This is WE2R.
Yeah, Charlie, that was 2 meters and 440.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I meant if I said something else.
Okay. Very good. This is very good. Wow. So the antenna in question, Charlie, is 2 meters and 440 in one J-pole.
Yes. I'm just reading. I'm trying to work. But yes, that's what it is.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, it's a normal 2 meter J-pole will resonate on 2 meters, but the takeoff angle on 440 is very high, so it's not really useful for terrestrial work. There's a guy named Edison Fong, WB6IQN, who built an optimized version of that for both 2 meters and 440 that gives much better performance on the 440 band, and the article can be found in February 2003. And then he's also written a follow-up to that to build a roll-up version of it, which can be found on the web as well. And it's DBJ-1, dual band J-pole-1, or DBJ-1, and DBJ-2. So if you Google either of those, you'll find it.
And they basically, the difference is the takeoff angle?
Yeah, he used a little piece of coax as a matching stub and hung a little piece off the top. It's a pretty interesting antenna. Charlie might comment on how well it works. I just printed out the articles because you sparked my interest here, and I might have to build a couple. What's that guy's call? It's WB6, Italy, Quebec, November.
Okay, WB6IQN. So noted. Alrighty. I'm noting that myself, actually. Mr. Fong made a note.
Alrighty. I'm just wondering, has anyone tried the new Travel Plus software for repeaters that the league publishes? It's got some other things in it, too. It's got broadcast station hookups and weather stations and other goodies, but I'm kind of wondering, has anyone tried using it and using it to load any particular radios, memories? I'm just kind of curious if anyone's had any luck with that. I have not tried yet, but I do have the software, but I've never actually done the linkage to the radios, and that's something I've decided to do this time around with the latest and greatest software. Anybody else have comments on that? Questions, comments, confusions? This is K2BAR.
K2GCL repeater.
Well, I guess not. We don't have that traveling net directory kind of group. What can I tell you? Such is life. Alrighty. Let's see. Are there any other... actually, Jim, you wanted to make a comment for the net. Tom, I need to emphasize yet one more time. The Barra meeting will be February 10th, not February 3rd. Being deferred a week because of the High Holy Day of the Super Bowl. It's kind of like why the Catholic Church is messing around with St. Patty's Day to keep it out of Lent this year. You know, same drill. You got to keep your holidays all square. So, on that note, K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay. Yeah, they always take care of the St. Patty's Day. K2BAR, this is K2ZO. I wanted to make a comment on something I had commented and one of the previous technets, and that is that I was trying to solve the noise problem with my mechanical noise, my triplet 40 amp power supply, which drove me crazy. Okay, the thing had a hum in it, a mechanical hum, and I finally solved the problem by taking the transformer off of the steel chassis, bringing it up on four standoffs, brought it up about an inch, isolating the transformer with eight washers, rubber washers, 440 volts, and then solving the last amount of vibration by using, believe it or not, crazy glue dripped into the windings of the open frame transformer that was vibrating. And I got some of the syrupy type crazy glue and just dripped it in there and just let it cure. And believe it or not, it silenced the thing. It's now great. Before, it used to drive me nuts with the 60 hertz hum, so I just thought I'd pass that information on back to that K2ZO.
Which current in the supply is that triplet, 25 amp?
No, this is a 40 amp. To drive my HF rig, my exciter takes 40 amps. It has two 100 amp finals and a combiner, and it takes 40 amps to drive this puppy. So the 40 amp supply I have not used very much, and then since I got it used, and was always unhappy with the noise it made when you first turned it on, and it was just hummed. Well, I fixed it.
Well, because I have a 25 amp one, and it hummed. And what I had to do on mine is take a piece of cardboard, because you know how that chassis is essentially two C-shaped pieces of metal, at least on the 25 amp one, the PR25A. And all I did was take an index card piece and stuff it between the front bezel and the cover, and magic, it stopped making the noise.
Yeah, well, that was vibrations were coupled into the steel cabinet, but I had a lot more than that, the 40 amp one.
Oh, I'm sure. So you have that because you have the 200 watt exciter on your 110 wood.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Someone else had a comment. I think they were trying to jump in. Okay.
KC2AWX, I hope you hear me. I have a comment for Katie. To get onto the website of radiowave.com. It's RADIO. WAVZ.
You got that, Katie? Did you mean Katie or Kelly?
Well, whoever was asking about J-Poles, this company makes double bazooka antennas and every kind of antenna you can think of. And it's made by KC0 Zulu Echo Zulu Echo Queen in Lake Char Lake Lewis, Missouri. And it's about $30 for a J-pole already made and with a case. And it's pretty neat. And it's radiowave.com. KC2AWX.
Okay, well, that's very good to know. Personally, I think I'd rather build mine, but that's just me. But that's a good resource to have, nonetheless. Alrighty. We've kind of beaten that to death. Got a little bit on insights on how to quiet down a big fat 40 amp power supply. I've been thinking about getting one of those. I have a 100 amp supply that I need to have Barra's Best look at Kitnite. The problem is I can't bring it down to Kitnite. It's a big pig of a 100 amp job. I can bring it, but the problem is I can't babysit it, and no one else is going to want to schlep it back and forth until it gets fixed. But I managed to feed it with 160 volts one day when my generator decided to let go years ago. probably some blown transistors, to be my guess, but it seems that there's the transformer is still good, and miscellaneous other parts are probably okay, but, you know, we'll have to see. In any case, it'd be lovely to have that, because it'd be a good iron supply, a nice, steady, 100-amp regulated supply would be awesome. It's also got some nice metering, which seems to still work, by the way, digital metering on it, so that's a good news as well. Alrighty, another day, another time. Anybody else with questions and comments for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, please call K2BAR.
M3CRT with a comment.
Charlie, M3CRT, good. K2BAR.
Yeah, they switched the ISS into repeater mode, voice repeater mode, and in about a half an hour here, it'll come above our horizon for, let me see if I can click on here, a short pass, and you can listen. It's 145.800 FM downlink, and if you have the capabilities, 437 .800 uplink, and always listen before you transmit, and use Doppler correction, and it's neat. I'll be listening. N3CRT.
What time is the pass, and where is it gonna? What's the azimuth when it rises and falls?
Okay, I have to preview here. I'm previewing. When it comes above the horizon, it's going to be northwest of us. Yeah, let me look at my... Yeah, it's going to be northwest of us. It's going to pass north of us at about 12 degrees elevation, and that's about the highest spot in the pass. And then it'll set out to the east. So it's a pretty easy pass to kind of figure out if you're pointing. It's really looping right north of us. So west to start, north at about 12 degrees, and east is where it's going to set. And it's the midpoint there happens around... Oh, my computer program is not behaving. But hold on a second. It's going to be mid-pass at about 12:35. It's going to come above the horizon 10:31. Coming above the horizon 10:35 to the north, 12 degrees above the horizon, and it'll set around 10:39. So there. If anybody has any more questions, they can let me know. N3CRT.
Yeah, Charlie, just to be clear, it's going to rise in the northwest sky or the western sky?
The northwestern around 310 degrees. It'll pass north of us at about 12 degrees of elevation, and then it's going to set at about 80 degrees. So it's a little bit. You know, favoring the northern side of the sky.
K2KCL, repeater.
Well, I, for one, want to make sure I'm there in time. That sounds good. Does anybody have a calibrated time check, just to be sure? Someone who's actually checked their clock recently? Please call K2BAR. That's what it sounds like, Jim. Being a funny guy. All right, anybody with a calibrated clock want to call us? KTBAR.
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey UTC, and 44 seconds.
All right, Tim again.
At the tone, it will be 309 UTC. 3, 2, 1, beep, 309 on the dot.
Okay, well, I see which one of my clocks is actually calibrated within a second. It's a little disconcerting when you see that, because some of the computers are way off, and they obviously are not running their time software. At least one of mine is not. The others seem to be. And God knows the clock on my Pro 3 is off by just about a minute precisely, which tells me that I said it wrong in the first place. Oh, well. Anyway, thank you for that. And, Steve, I heard you in there as well. Thank you as well. Any other stations wish to have comments or questions for the net, please call K2BAR.
WI2W.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, it's going to be very loud. You won't need a directional antenna. If you have an Omni antenna, you should hear it just fine. Just set your receiver to 145.800 and give a listen from, 10:30 on, 10:33, 10:35. It'll be coming up, and it'll set around 10:41 over here. You should hear it fine. It's very loud. It's low, and it's running about 5 watts, so it's an easy catch.
Comment?
Thank you for that information. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know how well or wide known this is, but if you ever want to get a quick UTC time, or any time for that matter, NIST runs a website. You go to time.gov, time.gov, and they have a Java application there that is accurate to the atomic clock time within a half of a second. So it's pretty close, probably just as good as you'd be able to set anyway manually. And if you don't want to do it online, you can also call WWB, and it will read it back to you. They have a voice prompt. If anybody wants that phone number and has a pen nearby, it's area code 303-499-7111.
You know, when the National Air Standards became NIST, it just started something like it started to sound like something out of Monty Python. I mean, the knights that go NIST in the night, you know. But thank you for that. That's good. That's 303-499-7111 or time.gov.
Yeah, and you can also get it for your time zone too. I mean, if you don't know, which is UTC, you'll see when you log on to the website. You can choose UTC or any time zone that you'd like.
It's a beautiful thing. They also have some nice presentations on that as well, on time in general. I've always enjoyed this site as well. And the other thing that's really nice about the site, the Java application you're talking about, has a nice gray line chart of the Earth, so you can tell what's illuminated and what's in darkness and everything in between, which is really handy as well. Tim, do you have an application that's running on your machine to keep your time accurate?
Just go into Windows. You can set it and it automatically updates.
Actually does it, so it may not do it as regularly as you think.
So do you have a suggestion, Tim?
I do believe that there are programs available. Like if you go to download.com and search for automatic clock setting or something like that, there are programs that will pull time.gov and similar websites more frequently, whenever you wanted to have it synchronized.
Oh, I just did mine, and it hasn't synchronized yet. I hit the Update Now button, and there it is. It just got there. Apparently, mine had drifted four full minutes off, so that's pretty horrendous. So your point is well taken, Tim.
Yeah, there's something in there, too, the way the API runs, that runs the time within Windows. It's not always a true hardware time. Your actual BIOS clock may be different than what displays there, depending on how much you have running in the background. In fact, I've run some pretty heavy processes in the background that take a lot of processor usage, and then you'll notice that if you watch the clock, as soon as it stops, the clock will advance 2 minutes, almost instantaneously.
And I also just changed my my time server from Windows.com or time.windows.com to time.nist.gov.
Real quick, to NBD. Is the GPS satellites also generating a synchronous clock signal?
Yes, by rule of function, the GPS time signal is very precise, N3CRT.
Sorry about that, guys. WH2CAI. What subject are you going to beat to death now, Gordon?
Okay, sorry about that. I was just saying goodnight to my son. He wanted to go nighty-night. I'm sorry, I missed the last one, Tom.
What subject are you going to beat to death next?
Oh, well, you know what? I think out of deference to Charlie's fine suggestion, I think we need to give due consideration to securing for tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, just give me the frequency again that the satellite's output's on.
Surely. 145.800. 145.800. And for those who wish to try the uplink, it's 437.800. 437.800. And then one last thing. It's going to rise in the northwest about 310 degrees and settle out east. Approximately 90 degrees. We'll never be more than 12 degrees off the horizon, which, as Steve said, means that you probably can use an omnidirectional vertical and it would be just fine. So, 145.800 at 10:30 local time, peaking in the northwest or north like about 10:35 and setting about 39 past the hour. So it's about an 8 minute pass. So that's pretty much it. Anybody else with comments, questions, or confusions? Please call K2BAR. Okay, well, we'd like to thank everybody. It's been a long night. And one other thing that I do want to point out is I want to thank Charlie and 3CRT and KC2SIL for putting up with me last week when I was deathly ill with all those intestinal things that are just nasty, nasty that come upon you at this time of year. So again, I want to thank everyone for their patience and also Charlie and his wife for either handling the net or sacrificing whatever they wanted to do in lieu of that. So KC2SQP, K2OK, KC2PYB, K2ZO, KC2SKL, K2BDU, KC2AWX, KC2SIL, KC2SAV, KC2NZD, a new one on the net, that's, by the way, Stuart as well, N2OEL, W2VBB, NJ1W, Dave, W2JEK, WA2CAI, WE2R, N3CRT, KC2RNV, WI2W, and yours truly, W2TTT. That makes a total of 20 of us for tonight. Thank you very much for your time and attention and all, and we'll have another net session next week. Godspeed, and enjoy the Super Bowl. Go Giants!